is Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is
True Crime New England.
What's up, everybody?
Hello. Welcome back to another episode.
We are so happy to have you. Katie, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Great. What's been going on with you lately?
I'm moving.
Oh, you're moving.
9 minutes from my current apartment, so the podcast will not be affected.
I know for about 0.8 seconds, several of you were like, no, the podcast. Don't worry.
No, we're totally fine. My current apartment, I love it. I really do. It has really cute little touches. Like there's French doors, hardwood floors that I'm a huge fan of. My dining room table is a built-in breakfast nook with benches. There's just really cool, unique things about it. It's very affordable. I really don't pay a lot on utilities, but there has been a little bit of a situation going on with my downstairs, an over one neighbor who has been smoking cigarettes indoors for easily the past year and a half that I've been here. Landlords really aren't doing much about it. I'm not sure if they can do much about it. I know that a whole court proceeding takes a while, but I'm just getting a little sick and tired of the secondhand smoke exposure, especially for my little cat.
Of course.
And her itty bitty lungs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was able to find an apartment. I have toured 13 apartments.
I did not know it was that many.
The apartment market is a war zone at the moment. I know a lovely listener, Jesse. We have talked about it quite frequently because I know that you were in a very similar position to I. Mm-hmm. We both have found apartments, so we're doing great.
Oh, good.
But I will say that my neighbor across the hall, whose apartment is a carbon copy of mine, has moved out, and my landlords have upped the rent on that unit, and the person who moves into that unit will be paying $18.95 a month. When I moved in, I was paying $11.95 a month.
And when did you move in?
2 years ago.
Wow.
Well, September of 2020.
Okay.
So it could have been, you know, pandemic pricing as well, but sure. It's just quite a jump.
Wow.
Imagining looking around my apartment, as much as I love it, imagining paying $18.95 for this. Imagine paying $18.95 for anything. Crazy.
A month.
A month.
Blah.
That's insane. But yeah, it really has been a war zone. There was another apartment I looked at I fell in love with.
Mm.
High ceilings, dishwasher, so pet friendly. I was imagining all my plants just loving life with the, it was almost floor to ceiling windows too. So my plants would have been so happy. But then I started reading reviews and all of the reviews were like, this company is full of slumlords, there's cockroaches, there's bed bugs, there's people dealing drugs out of the other units. So I was like,
oh,
fuck no.
Shit.
Fuck no. And then I looked at a couple in Maine, but I really just did not want to deal with paying Maine state tax. And then I work in New Hampshire, so that's more taxes I'd have to pay.
Right.
Just other things that I've toured, there was no off-street parking. And this area where I'm at does a winter parking ban, so I don't know what I would do
right
in the winter. Right. It snows quite frequently here in New England.
What?
There were a couple apartments that I also really love, but they didn't have a washing machine and dryer on site.
Right. That's
so
a deal breaker for me.
That's a deal breaker for me too, man. I don't know. There was one, they were like, the laundromat is right across the street. And it was a super busy street.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagining carting my big ass thing of laundry through slush and snow.
No.
In the dark at 4 p.m. crossing a major road.
No.
No, I'm set.
Yeah, no, thank you.
But the one I found that I put a deposit down on was within my price range. They allow pets, which was another thing. I'm not getting rid of my cat just to find a place to live. Fuck that.
That is also a deal breaker for me.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to get rid of my cats.
Yeah, hello. So many places I looked at didn't allow pets. I was like, have a heart, people.
I know, seriously.
But the place I'm moving into, I technically can move in August 1st, but I'm going to take my sweet time moving just because I can.
Mm-hmm.
And also not to stress out my sweet little fluffy cat.
Of course.
But yes, within my price range, it's really cool. It has two floors. So
I'm
the
so
bedroom,
excited.
I'm so excited. The bedroom and bathroom are upstairs. I have a walk-in closet.
Nice.
The downstairs kitchen living room, I have my own washing machine and dryer in unit for me to use.
That's amazing.
A lot of storage, storage for my bike, off-street parking. The utilities are not covered unfortunately, because I really don't pay for utilities now, but everything's still within my price range.
Good.
And yeah, it'll be good. So honestly, this might be the last time that we are recording, depending on the time frame, in this current apartment.
I think it probably will be one of the last, if not the last.
Yeah.
We started the podcast here. The birth of this podcast, the first time we recorded the trailer, it was here. So it'll be a sad day, but a good one nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited for you. It's going to be good. I saw the pictures, guys. It looks fucking awesome.
I'm really excited. I am sad to be leaving my current apartment just because it checked all of my boxes, yeah. But I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion that my landlords, because it is a bigger company, that they would rather not deal with the issue and have me leave so they can up the rent by hundreds of dollars on this unit than deal with the issue. And honestly, it is what it is. I don't think that's that uncommon.
No.
Unfortunately. Renters don't have a whole lot of rights.
No.
So, yeah, it is what it is, but upgrade, kind of.
I know. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Moving on up. You get an upgrade. Salem gets an upgrade. We all get an upgrade. And I volunteered myself and my boyfriend, who has no choice, to help you move, and it's going to be great. We'll get it all done and make sure you're comfortable and safe, and we'll figure it out. It'll be good.
We'll get a good workout in, that's for sure.
Fuck yeah. I can't wait for that. And next year, when I move, hopefully, you can move me.
I'll return the favor.
God bless. See, guys, that's how negotiating is done.
That's why we're business partners.
That's why we're business partners.
That's why it works so
well. Ain't that the truth. Speaking of moving out of your apartment, today's episode involves a crazy guy escaping a rehab center and then going on a brief but scary car-based crime event. I'm really, really keeping it broad so you guys can really tune in and listen and hear the details of this case. Because it is, in a word, whack.
It's also terrifying. This is honestly just the way that this case started and how this man made contact with his victim is honestly one of my worst fears.
Yeah.
I watch my back, man. I really do, just because this is one of my worst fears. Not to say that the victim wasn't watching her back. She was a little distracted with a little child.
It wasn't even that she was distracted. She was just going about her business.
She was going about her day in broad daylight.
And the Everett Simpson, our perpetrator, took advantage of that. A very simple way into starting his crime spree.
Yeah. So you guys, seriously, stay tuned, because this is honestly just, I was very captivated by what I was reading in the worst way.
Yeah.
Because it's so awful.
And I always like to compare these perpetrators to things like, obviously, like the human Q-tip. This guy isn't a human Q-tip. And I think the best way we were describing him before we recorded was that he's like a human turnip.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what that means, but whatever your mind showed you, correct.
And he's a human turnip that can rot in prison.
Yes, indeed. And without further ado, today we will be covering
Everett Simpson.
Katie. Episode 104. So I think, technically speaking, this is the 104th time I've asked you for your sources.
This will also be the 104th time I'll be telling you my sources.
Interesting. It's all about perspective, people. It really is. That being said, Katie, take it away.
I had information from justice.gov, VTDigger times 2, lawandcrime.com, which also had a court document, a beloved court document, as well as mychamplainvalley.com, which I feel like we use almost every time we go to Vermont.
I think so, too. I also had Law and Crime, and I had that document that you're referring to from the District of Vermont. I had that separately, but I saw that it was in the article, and I was like, great. I had an article from AP News, Boston.com, Case Text, and I used VT Digger as well, times 3.
Damn.
I know, it was a great resource.
Hell yeah.
I was very happy.
On January 4th, 2019, so very recent.
Very recent.
42-year-old Everett Simpson broke out of the Valley Vista treatment facility in Bradford, Vermont. He was able to steal a commercial van in Newbury, Vermont, which is about 20 miles north. One source I had said that this van was on the property of the rehab facility.
Hmm.
Other sources I saw said that it was up in Newbury, Vermont. So I'm not sure how he got the 20 miles to Newbury, Vermont to steal this van. But nonetheless, he stole a commercial van and then hauled ass down the opposite way 2 hours to Manchester, New Hampshire.
Which, what was in Manchester, New Hampshire that he had to get to so urgently?
Right, like, I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things about this case, but...
Me neither.
Everett then dumped the van in a parking garage in the morning hours of January 5th before making his way to the Mall of New Hampshire.
Turns out, this Everett Simpson, he had a long laundry list of charges dating all the way back as 1995. So remember, this is 2019. So he's been doing terrible shit for years. Terrible stuff. His laundry list includes charges such as escape, obviously, and burglary. He also has seemingly substance abuse problems, which of course is unfortunate, and we know that causes a lot of problems, but he did tend to dabble in the art of drug addiction. So, like you said, Katie, on January 4th, he broke out of this Valley Vista rehab center. Okay. Why do they always... I don't know how this happens. How anyone escapes anything.
Right, and it's 2019.
Right.
Like, how is that even possible? You'd think that place would be armed and, like... I don't know.
You would think, right? Well, it turns out that on January 3rd, the day before that, Simpson was released from the Vermont Department of Corrections after posting bail for something entirely unrelated. His case actually involved charges of vehicle theft, high-speed pursuit, and aggravated assault on a trooper out of Lindenville, Vermont. So, per his bail agreement, he had to go to this Valley Vista rehab center and, you know, not be a prisoner there, but get treatment. And like you said, Katie, the very next day he was like, see y'all fuckers, and he dipped.
Oh my. So he was there less than 24 hours.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
And you know what the best part is? The lack of urgency on the part of the police and the Valley Vista building and the employees, because they didn't do shit.
Per protocol, and I feel like this is usually something that is typical when someone goes to a treatment center as part of a bail agreement, or they were formally incarcerated on drug-related charges and they have to go to this facility, it's court-mandated.
Right.
No exceptions. Like, they're not going there for funsies, they're not going there for their own accord, they're not going there because they themselves decided they want treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It is per their bail agreement or per a court agreement. Yep. So if they were to leave that facility, break out, flee, run for the hills, however you want to phrase it, the minute their foot crosses that threshold out of the facility, they need to be calling the police. They need to be calling that person's parole officer if they have one. They need to be notifying anyone and everyone in charge.
Yes.
The facility staff at Valley Vista did that. However, they waited an entire hour and a half.
Yep.
So within that time, he was like nearly to Manchester.
Yeah. And I'm wondering too, not to play devil's advocate, if they didn't notice, or like it was, you know, he had escaped when in between like checks or something.
Yeah.
It's unclear. Regardless, I think he should have been discovered way sooner. There's like really no excuse for it at the end of the day. But there's so many things that could have happened, and I just wanted to be devil's advocate, give them, you know, because what the people of the substance abuse center, that job is not easy.
As a former psych nurse, absolutely not. It's not easy.
So I can give some leeway, but regardless, an hour and a half was plenty of time for him to get a plan in place where he was enacting a crime.
Right. And the fact that he had previous charges of escape and vehicle theft, and the first thing he did when he got there was escape and steal a vehicle.
He has things that work for him, okay? It just happens to be malicious.
He's a man of routine.
He is.
In the parking lot of the Mall of New Hampshire in Manchester, at about 12:45 p.m., Everett rushed at a 23-year-old woman and her 4-year-old son as they were getting into their car.
This poor woman, she was not distracted, like you said, but she was putting her son in his car seat.
Right, and probably their bags, too. I mean, they were at the mall having a nice mother-son day.
Sure.
And it's like, it's 12:45 p.m.
Broad daylight.
Broad daylight in a parking lot.
In a very public place.
It's just, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Everett elbowed her and forced them both into the car, and then held them against their will and stole the car that he drove back up to Vermont.
Yeah.
He kept telling the woman, who in court documents is only listed by her initials CR, and we're going to keep it that way. So going forward, the woman, the 23-year-old mom of her 4-year-old sweet son, will now be referred to as CR by her initials. Everett kept telling her that he was going up to Vermont to find his estranged wife, and that he found out his wife had cheated on him, and he was going to go find her, and she was going to go help him.
Right, right.
At one point, Everett drove them up to Fairleigh, Vermont, where he claimed his wife lived, and then forced CR to get out of the vehicle and knock on the door of the house to see if his wife was there. Everett kept the child in the car to prevent CR from running away.
Which, I hate to say it, kind of genius on his part.
Right, because she could have easily, like, oh yeah, I'm going to go knock on the door. Psych, see ya, I'm running. But she's not going to do that with her 4-year-old.
Yeah.
In the car with this insane man.
And how scary must it have been to knowingly walk up to that house, knowing that her precious son is in the car with that turnip?
He could do anything. He could put the car in reverse and drive off. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
After CR knocked on the door of this house and got no answer, Everett decided that his wife wasn't home, and he shifted his focus. He was very intent on the three of them, this 4-year-old, CR, and him, tracking down his wife. It was clear that he wanted to inflict some kind of harm on her because he was upset. He was urgent. He just kept saying over and over and over, my wife cheated on me. We have to go find her. My wife cheated on me. We're going to go find her. I'm going to go track her down. We're going to find her. She cheated on me.
And now poor CR is thinking, okay, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill my son. And we're going to find this woman and he's going to kill her.
Right. Or what if he makes me kill her? Like, the possibilities, really.
Yeah.
And your mind, too, is racing.
Yeah.
You're terrified. You're trying to stay calm. You're trying to think about, okay, how can I not only save myself, but save my 4-year-old child who's also in this disaster?
Right.
Everett, after a while, after they knocked on the door, you know, wife didn't answer, he seemed to really shift his focus, and he no longer seemed interested in finding his wife.
Yeah.
But he wanted to continue to hold CR and her child against their will. And then he mentioned that he was going to look for a place to pull the car over and then sexually assault her.
It seemed like no matter what, at the end of the day, he was keen on committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he could do, he was going to do it. His wife didn't work out because he was probably going to hurt her very badly. Couldn't find her, so okay, I have a perfectly good woman right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did.
He actually pulled over at one point on the side of the road to sexually assault CR, and she had her pants down around her ankles. There were some joggers coming up the road, so she got their attention. She was trying to get help, and then the joggers were like, hey, is everything okay? What's going on?
Yeah.
And they started to approach the car, and then Everett grabbed her, pulled her in the car, and drove off, like, sped away.
Yeah, and the joggers were left there like, did you see that? Like, her pants were around her ankles. She was screaming. And they specifically saw Everett, like, pluck her back and speed off. So they were like, okay. So it was like, this was at like 3:45. And they called the police in Thetford, Vermont. And it was more than just the joggers. A few other people had, like, seen it, like, around. It was not a quiet road, which is interesting for why he decided to stop there to rape her. The phone calls were saying that a woman in a silver sedan was screaming for help. She had long brown hair. She was attempting to escape a car while it was moving. And the callers also claimed that they said they saw a man in the car, and that when she started screaming, he very obviously forcefully grabbed her and pulled her out of view and drove away. So now the police were like, what did you just say? This is Vermont. Everyone's high and happy.
Right.
No. So now they were like, okay, what is happening? Who is this person? Who is this man? who does she have in that car? Where are they going? They needed so much information. And unfortunately, for the time being, it was too late because Everett had driven off and he was gaining ground with distance at that point. And poor CR was now frantic. She was afraid he was going to kill her son. She was nervous because of the side of the road. How easy would it be to just dispose a body and not be seen? Whether it be her body not being discovered or him getting away with it. That's the perfect place for a crime.
Right. And it seemed like he was driving around, not really aimlessly, but he just was he was switching up his route. Like, he was going to go find his wife. That didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to find a road where I can pull over and then rape you. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he also was from Vermont. So
Right. It
wouldn't be that difficult for him to pull over on a side road where no one would find her.
Right.
So she just was thinking, he's going to rape me and then kill us both and dump our bodies and that's going to be it.
Yeah. And she did something so brave. I don't know how she did this. She convinced Everett, if he's going to sexually assault her, why not do it on a bed in a hotel? And he was like, yeah, I shit you not. He thought that was a good idea. And CR was a genius because she was thinking, it's safer at a hotel, a motel, because we'll be out of the car. There'll be cameras. It's not an abandoned road, or it's not a busy road where people are driving by and don't even notice. You know, it's just another day on the road. She was really thinking on her feet. And I commend her for that.
She was thinking, you know, this guy is going to sexually assault me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. Like, it really is. It's going to happen. It's going to be awful. But it could go one of two ways. And so she was thinking, if it's going to happen, let's have it happen where this guy can get caught. And if he kills us, there's going to be cameras and the cameras are going to get him, going to get the car, going to get something. So let's do it in a way that is going to get this guy caught and behind bars.
She's thinking like a true crime fan.
She's thinking like a pro.
She was, I think, and that saved her life, honestly.
Yeah.
That was so brave. And of course, this whole time she has to think, her son is with her and he's in his car seat and he's, you know, there's so much collateral damage to be had here. And I bet you at this point, she didn't really care about saving herself, but more her son. And I don't, of course. So to convince him to go to a hotel, a motel, whatever, that was the best thing she could have done.
And how you think logically and you're able to formulate a plan when you are in danger and your life is on the line and your son's life is on the line, like the fear, the adrenaline.
Yeah.
So really props to her for being able to formulate a plan.
Absolutely.
Because I think most of us don't know how we're going to react unless we're in that situation. Like, I could sit here and say, yeah, I could do that all day long. I would have come up with a plan from the minute the car was put in drive. Like, fuck off. You don't know what you're going to do. You're not going to know how you're going to react in fight or flight until you're in that situation yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman's incredible.
She is truly incredible. And I think you make a really good point. You have no idea how you're going to act. And it's such a good example. Like, think of it, like, if you guys have ever, like, for example, me this weekend, I was having a lot of trouble with my AC unit in my apartment. And it was flooding and I was having trouble with maintenance and getting them there. And after one particular phone call where the maintenance man was extremely rude to me, I hung up the phone and I said, no, I'm going to call him back and I'm going to curse him out. And then by the time he was back on the phone, I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. You know, like, you have no idea. You can think that, yes, right here, I'm going to do it. And then it just, you don't. And that's normal. So the fact that she was able to maintain that, badassery in the purest form. So good on her, this brave ass woman. And we'll praise her till the end because she saved her life. She saved her son's life. And that's no small feat.
For sure. Everett pulled over and parked at the Comfort Inn Motel in White River Junction and forced CR and her child out of the car and into the hotel. He then sexually assaulted her inside of a hotel room. He forced her to book.
With her credit card.
With her credit card.
Like an idiot.
Hello? He raped her in front of her young son, which I think is horrifying.
I think that is just so blatantly disturbing and sinister.
Evil.
Because I'm sure it wasn't, like, how most of us think of, like, a nice, pleasant... You know, obviously he was raping her. So I'm assuming that he... Obviously he was holding her against her will. He probably was hitting her or screaming, saying obscenities and maybe threatening both of them. It was not something that a four-year-old ever should witness, let alone have it happen at all.
Exactly.
Honestly.
After this, Everett then let CR and her child go, but he drove off in their car, a 2014 silver Kia Forte.
So before Simpson, this part kind of confused me, I will not lie to you. Before Simpson left the hotel, he still had CR's phone. He said, okay, she can't call the police if I have her cell phone, right? So on his way out, though, he stops at the front desk, and there's a clerk standing there, and he hands the phone to them. And he says, this is her phone, indicating to the woman he came in with, CR, obviously. And then he leaves. What was he trying to achieve? Why wouldn't he just want to take the phone with him and, like, smash it somewhere? Not to tell him how to do his job, but, you know? It was so bizarre. And then 20 minutes later, to make absolute sure he was gone, scared, trembling, and fearing for her and her son's life, CR ran out of her hotel room and went to the hotel clerk. Help me, I've been taken here against my will. Like, please, I need help. And that's when the police were called. And they came to that White River Junction, Vermont, Comfort Inn, where they discovered a very shaken up mom-son duo who were clearly terrified and traumatized.
It was awful. Like, she was shaking.
Yeah.
And she kept looking around as if he was going to come back.
Yeah.
She just was very fearful. And then police also noted that the four-year-old was so terrified he had urinated on himself.
And I mean, who among... I would too. How fucking awful. That's so scary. Watching that happen, being driven around, probably really fast and recklessly, in a car, and you can visibly see your mom upset.
Right, and your mom's screaming for help.
Right.
And he's restraining her. Like, you know that you don't know this man, and that you can sense that something is not right.
Right.
And now you're in a strange hotel, and you watch your mom just be attacked.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
It's very scary.
CR was able to give a description of the male to police with astounding accuracy.
Yeah.
She said that he was approximately 6'1". He had blonde eyebrows and blue eyes. He was balding underneath a black Adidas brand baseball cap. He was a white male with shaved stubble on the side of his head. She also told police that he had written down her address and stolen her driver's license, and he told her that if she went to the police, he knew where she lived and would find her and kill her.
Which is, that alone is so, so terrifying, because that's a really real credible threat. How do you try and escape that way with your son knowing that he has that information? You can never go back to your home. Truly.
Right. Especially when he's running around. He's running amok. Like, what if they don't find him? How are you going to go to the police, tell them this, be like, all right, guys, he's still on the loose. I'm going to go home and go to bed for the night. No.
Right. You just can't do that.
Oh, God.
It's so ridiculous. And at this point, Everett Simpson hadn't necessarily been identified yet. They didn't know he was the suspect. Separately, the police knew that there was an escapee from this rehab center. They didn't seem super concerned about it, though, to be quite truthful, until they put the pieces together and realized, oh, that escapee is this guy that had this woman and her four-year-old held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And forced to rape and watch a rape, you know? They were like, oh, it's this fucker. Finally, they were able to kind of piece that together. It didn't take them very long, but that being said, it was enough time for him to keep going.
This man, they caught him after not one but two separate high-speed chases ensued. He ended up ditching the silver Kia that he had stolen, you know, with CR and her child in it.
Right.
And then he stole another car, his third in total.
Right.
Because the commercial van at first, and then her car with her inside of it.
Right.
And now this third car.
Yeah.
He made it all the way to Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
like a high speed, and that was on his criminal record too, high speed chase.
Yes, this is not new for him.
No, he's a pro at it. Clearly, this is, it took two separate high speed chases to catch him, and only because he crashed the third stolen car.
Like, it's great to have hobbies. It's great to have talent. And clearly he is talented at stealing cars. I'll give him that much. He is also maybe kind of talented at high-speed chases, but typically those end with a crash. And that's exactly what this ding-dong did. And the police finally got him so far away. He was caught the next day on the 6th of January. That is plenty of time to get so far. Pennsylvania blows my mind. How did they track him? That's nuts.
I know.
Maybe like pay by plates or like tolls.
I can't imagine the amount of 911 calls coming in like, hey, this guy's driving so recklessly. Hey, this guy just stole a car in front of my face. Oh right. My gosh.
Right.
Like, oh. In court, Everett, as most crazy people do, represented himself.
He did what now? And it's so crazy too because he had extra time to fume and to prepare because his trial was scheduled for March of 2020. And we all know what happened then, unfortunately. So his trial actually was moved to April of 2023. So at the time of this recording, that's 3 months ago. And again, representing himself like a true psychopath, we all know how this is going to fucking end. It's always the same.
Right, like you don't do yourself any favors, number one. And number two, because CR is still very much alive, mm-hmm. Is she well? I don't know how you can be that well after that happened to you,
right.
But she's alive, so she's able to be in court. So she not only had to face him in court, he questioned her directly.
She was sitting in the witness box testifying, and her kidnapper and her rapist is talking to her directly, and she has to stand there and be so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying.
It's not okay.
I wouldn't blame her, and this is why a lot of these cases kind of fall to shit, because the victims do not want to go to court, understandably. And she did this alive to his face, having to speak with him as he accuses her of bullshit things like, this was consensual, right? And she was like, no, you fucking dick. It was not.
In court, CR maintained in her testimony that Everett kidnapped her and that she was terrified to run away because her child was in the back seat.
Of course.
What are you going to do? Be like, sorry, four-year-old child, you're on your own. This is your new parent. Toodaloo. No.
No. No parent would do that. Truly.
No. Could she have gotten away? Maybe, but she's not going to leave her kids. She's being so brave.
Of course.
She also said in court that Everett took her phone and downloaded a text-free app so he could send messages from it without being traced, and that he used this to text his wife.
Yeah.
He texted, quote, is this wife's name? I am with your husband and he is bleeding, because he was trying to manipulate his wife into thinking he was harmed.
He even sent another text that said he's going to kill himself. To try and, like, lure her out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God this wife had the guts and the brains to not answer. Because it was, they confirmed it did go to her phone. She did receive that. She was, thank God she's safe. You know, she was hiding.
Yeah, she herself went into hiding because she was notified, I'm not sure by who, but she was notified that he had broken out of Valley Vista. So she was like, oh my God, he's going to come find me. So she was in hiding.
Yeah.
Everett, as we know, kept CR's cell phone on his person the entire time he was with her to prevent her from calling for help. Everett said in court that he could admit to the charges related to stealing the three cars, but that he would not admit to the kidnapping charges, and he kept saying and kept reiterating that the woman went with him voluntarily and consensually.
Which, those both are incorrect. She was kidnapped and held against her will with the threat of her son's life, and then she was raped. She was not consenting to sex.
Everett stated, quote, this was a horrible situation. What it was not was a kidnapping situation. He also said that he had been portrayed as, quote, a monster who committed the worst crime in Vermont's history. He said to the jurors that he waited to argue his case himself in court, even though he knew he was up against government resources, quote, but I will not stop.
He's a psychopath.
Unbelievable. On what planet was that consensual and voluntary?
I'm telling you, this guy, he looks like a turnip, in his head, another turnip. And he's stupid. So stupid, in fact, that it took the jury two hours to deliberate and find this guy guilty of all charges without hesitation.
I will say, even the attorneys, like CR's attorney versus Everett's attorney, who he ended up, you know, not really doing much with because he represented himself, of course.
Right.
Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Lasher, thank you, Matthew Lasher, for having common sense, told the jury that Everett's claim that the woman went voluntarily with him was preposterous. Great word.
Yeah, that's good.
And not supported by any evidence. Everett's attorney, Assistant Federal Public Defender David McLaughlin, claimed in court that Everett and CR had planned the meeting over the internet and in advance. Dave even requested full access to CR's phone in the form of a physical memory extraction, which would give him access to everything.
And remember, this is 3 years after the trial was supposed to happen. So that's everything in between.
Right, and this is all of her text messages.
Everything.
Data from dating apps, photos, files, banking information, her contacts with all of her family and friends. He stated, quote, CR's communications over her phone will be material to demonstrating that her encounter with Mr. Simpson was consensual, and it may provide evidence that she has had similar encounters with other men in the past.
I get it if you're a defense lawyer defending a criminal. I hate that what they have to do is attack the victim. She does not deserve that.
Right.
And he knows it.
Yeah. And he's saying that, oh, she's done this in the past with other men. She's had interactions with other men.
What?
Hello?
Even if she was using like Tinder or something, that is not the same.
No. Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Lasher called the request inappropriate and said that giving anyone access to those records would violate CR's privacy because her phone contains everything.
Literally.
And it would also give asshole Everett access to her entire phone. Like, her contacts, her new address if she changed her address.
Everything.
Everything! Yeah. Her banking information. Everything. He also said it was a violation of the Crime Victims' Rights Act, which says that victims of crimes have the right to be reasonably protected from the accused and treated with dignity and privacy. It would also compromise the woman's, quote, already damaged sense of integrity and security.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well said. In 2019, the state of Vermont settled a lawsuit put forth by CR, claiming that the state didn't do enough to find Simpson once he, quote, escaped from Valley Vista, which is absolutely correct. We already talked about that. They did not call for help after it took an hour and a half. And then didn't seem like they were trying too hard because he had been gone for over a day. You know, like, it's just too much. She was rewarded $400,000, which I think is a start.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, Everett Simpson still hasn't been sentenced. He has been found guilty, but there hasn't been a sentence hearing because it happened just now in April. But he does face life in prison.
Bye.
Goodbye. See ya. Guys, I want to know, do you think he should have life in prison? What do you think would be a fair sentence? Yes, I understand he didn't kill her. But he kidnapped her and a child over state lines, raped her, stole 3 cars, crashed some of them.
2 high-speed chases.
Yeah, which is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking he's going to spend the rest of his natural life in jail.
As he should. And you guys, stay tuned for updates. I'm not sure when his actual sentencing is going to happen, mm-hmm. but we are keeping our eyes peeled.
Absolutely.
We want this guy to rot behind bars where he belongs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, CR is, she was 23 at the time of this incident and her child was 4. Mm-hmm. So they're both very much still around. This was in 2019.
Right.
You know, they both are trying to move on with their lives, but they're still waiting on this guy to be sentenced. Yeah. So, you know, for her sake and for justice for her and her sweet four-year-old at the time, as well as just for our own curiosity, you know, we're going to keep our eyes peeled for updates. So stay tuned, definitely.
I really hope he gets life. I think he will, just given the severity of all the stuff. But, and he's a habitual offender, so that definitely helps. But ultimately, we want to know what you guys think. So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at truecrimene.
All lowercase.
Or you can send us an email at truecrimene@gmail.com.
We also, of course, have a website, truecrimene.com. You could go to our Contact Us page and use our handy-dandy submission tool where you can let us know your thoughts about this case, other cases we have covered, perhaps. You could even use that submission tool to send us ideas for cases based in New England, please, for us to cover on future episodes. You can leave your name if you so choose and get a little shout out at the top of the episode. You can also be anonymous if you so choose. That is absolutely also an option. You could also check out our shop where we have new merch.
Yeah.
We're very excited about it. We have a couple different items on there that are very near and dear and personal to us. So it'd be cool if you guys just checked it out. But if not, no pressure. Thanks for being here.
We love it. And honestly, guys, if you have any ideas for merch or designs, you send us a DM or hit us up on any of the ways we just told you, because we'd love to hear your ideas.
Yeah, of course.
And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.